Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio Network. And our show tonight is In the Mix. My co-host is Kaz Wittenscaife. Say hello, Kaz. Now, what's she doing? I'll be darned. Well, anyway, so she doesn't want to talk to us, Elaine. These shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit. It's supposed to take place July 28th through 31st this year in D.C., but the way things are going, they claim that no more than 10 of us non-essentials can meet at one time in one place, so that kind of precludes 2,990 other people. We're trying to make other arrangements for what to do this year, so as soon as we know something firm, we'll pass that along to you. Now then, just a little update on what's going on here in Minnesota. They just passed Bill 3771, and this thing should have been titled How We're Going to Screw the Elderly Again, Bill. But it was put out with one of those flowery, feely, fuzzy, you know, about, you know, elder protection and blah, blah, blah. And what this bill does is it codified into law the right of the guardians to break into wills and trusts, which when they sell you wills and trusts, they tell you that they're sacrosanct, you know, once those are they're written in stone, which I think now you should be able to go back and sue the attorneys for fraud, because they aren't. The guardian can break into them, remove beneficiaries, replace them with a person of their choice. I wonder how that's going to come out. Even if it's themselves, you think? They can take elderly people and stash them, isolate them in other states. Now you give me one damn good reason why there would be any need to put an elderly person in another state away from their home, from their family, from their friends, from their religious affiliations, from everything they knew. The only reason you could have for doing that is to isolate them, torture them psychologically, hasten their death, and steal the estate. That is the only reason you would be doing that. This bill, This is just the tip of the iceberg in this thing, but it's very obvious that several fiduciary corporations have their fingers in this. And, of course, we have one major one up here in Minnesota. It runs Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, that its stock and trade is targeting vulnerable people and stealing their estates. And, of course, they have a open door when it comes to our legislature. This was passed bipartisan. I keep telling you, let go of this phony right-left thing. It only exists for you and me out here in no man's land. you get into these governments and it's non-existent. It was passed, both Republicans and Democrats voted to pass it, and the governor already signed it into law. So we have rendered the elderly yet again to be disposable, exploitable, and it's all sanctioned by government. I've had other people say to me, you know, well, this bill or that bill came out and it's better than nothing. I'll take what I can get. That's a defeatist attitude. This isn't a day for I'll take what I can get. I'll take what I told you we needed. That's what I'll take. The rest of this, may you all suffer the same fate that you have determined for the rest of us. I hope every one of these legislators and the governor finds himself guardianized, isolated, drugged out of his mind, and financially exploited to the point of being destitute, just like the rest of us are subject to. I truly wish that for them. In fact, I pray for that. And I hope they suffer 10 times more than the people that they subjected to this. This is so egregious, I can't believe it. And girls, I don't know about you, but it seems to me this virus, we got, and they're trying to make it, oh, it's a Democrat, it's Republicans too, get off your horse. Taking people out of hospitals, what few are there, because far from having the overload at the hospital, they claim, oh, we're going to be swamped. The hospitals are sitting empty, and many of them have either partially shut down or totally shut down, and many have said they won't recover from this. Nobody's coming in. Got it? People have figured out the only people dying are in the hospital or nursing homes. So several of the governors ordered the nursing homes in their state to take COVID patients. Now, the elderly are the most vulnerable, supposedly, when it comes to this faked up virus. Why would you take people you claim are infected with it and put them in there with people who are elderly and then wonder why 70, 80 of them died? But I think there's another plausible thought here. Maybe that isn't what killed them. It's just something to think about. Same thing at our VA homes. Same thing. Why is that? If this was truly what they say it is, Los Angeles, as an example, has 59,000 homeless people. They tested 4,000 of them, and they all came up negative for this virus. Are the alarms going off for anybody? If this was truly what they say it is, there would be dead people in the street. These homeless communities would be ravaged. And saying that out loud, I hope I haven't set a tsunami loose on them. It's just incredible. These people are prime targets for something like this. And why it hasn't hit them, they'll get to them. Believe me, they will. We had that one commissioner in California here last week who tweeted out the comment that they ought to end the lockdown, let the virus run its course and do its job, and take out the elderly and the homeless and clean things up. They fired him immediately. But this is exactly what this thing is intended to do. They're talking about, I think now, something like 80,000 people have died across the country from this. And about 80 to 90% of them are the elderly or the chronically ill, mostly elderly. Now, what do you think's happening here? What do you think the chances are? Somebody, please. Anyway, with all that having been said, and that's my rant for this evening, Kaz, are you with us yet? She's still not there, Elaine.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, then,
taking a break.
We'll just forget about her then. Anyway, Elaine, everybody, I think you're familiar with Elaine Mickman from Pennsylvania. She, you've been through such a battle yourself, and you'd sent me a piece of mail earlier today with several things listed in it. And the first part of it was about foreclosures. And you said they had started doing foreclosures there in Pennsylvania, even though the President Trump had suspended foreclosures for 60 days. What's going on there?
Oh, yes. So if you know, just as you would suspect, it sounds like a lot of this stuff going on. We all know that there's really this COVID. Nobody's denying that. But, you know, it looks like the certain people in the government are using it to selectively choose, pick and choose what they're going to open up, close down, who they're going to, what they're going to do. And in any event, Montgomery County, the courthouse was shut down to the public, I believe it was about March 13th. So we were the first county in the state to shut down. And, you know, things progressed and the governor had ended up shutting down the state, basically. And then, you know, we know President Trump had said about, as part of this, foreclosures were supposed to be suspended and, you know, evictions and so forth for 60 days. However, lo and behold, now my home, which it's been paid for in full, but I still have a crooked mortgage company that's foreclosing on me. And anyway, you know, I get an order in the mail where it was entered, I believe it was May 11th, and it had to do with something that was filed. So I can't get into the courthouse to file things myself. I'm locked out, but the judge is working inside there. They're fast at work, entering orders. And by the way, it's interesting because this judge who entered the order is an unassigned judge. She's not assigned to my case. The docket shows it's a different judge, yet this judge basically hijacked the case. And I guess the fact that her family owns the real estate company that sells, I don't know if they sell all of the homes foreclosed in the county or a lot of them or some of them. So, you know, there's that financial motive there. You know, just as there is with everything else, just like in the guardianship, the financial motive is there, you know. And so here I have to deal with stuff in the court. Everything's closed. Libraries are closed here. You can't go in to use the computers to print anything. Basically, everything is shut down here. And, you know, it puts people in that position to address legal matters when you're locked out. So that's what I'm having to deal with. And I'm sure different attorneys and law firms, they can easily access the court. You know, they do the
right.
e-filings, you know, they have their contacts with the judges. So it's a one-sided thing. And, you know, that's one additional challenge or barrier that I've had to deal with in addition to everything else. But, we've had there's been several rallies in the state. Just yesterday, there was one in Montgomery County. And I think there was several hundred people there. I was going to go, and I ended up not because I had to get something filed and what the hoops I had to jump through, what I had to go through to get something filed at the court. I can't go into the court. I had to type something up, send it to somebody else in order to put it in a format and then send it and then forward it to another place to be able to print it. I mean, you can't imagine what was involved just to send something and send it in the mail and with a form proving I sent it. But in any event, one of the thing that the people are really carrying on about now is that they're saying that the governor is abusing his authority and stripping people of their civil liberties by misusing the disaster declaration. So, you know, they just called a state of an emergency, and this is like endless. You know, how long is it going to go? People bought it and accepted it, you know, for the first few weeks or a month, but now, you know, 2 months pass by and no end, and he keeps moving the goalposts. If everyone remembers, like in the beginning, every single state or county or wherever, they all said the same thing. We just want to close down till we flatten the curve, okay? Well, after the curve was flattened, now they're saying, well, we got to, you know, and they wanted to flatten it so we didn't overflow all the healthcare systems, you know, that the hospitals wouldn't be bombarded with thousands of patients with no way to treat them, no place, no bed for them. Well, they flattened the curve, and now there's like, oh, well, we have to make sure that we get rid of this COVID. And now we have to have a vaccine and medication for it. So, you know, meantime, people are out of business, out of work. And I'll tell you, interesting is when you think about, like, many of the government employees still getting their paychecks, you know, doesn't bother them. And I mean, you know, it might be an inconvenience that you can't enjoy some of the pleasures in life. You can't go, you know, you're not going to go to shopping or on vacations or wherever it is, whatever people do, but they're still getting their paycheck. They can pay their bills. And, you know, a lot of them work. Yeah. And they're working remotely. Many of them work remotely, you know, from their homes. They're all set up. In fact, they're saving their gasoline money. They don't have to drive to work or take the public transportation. They're right in the convenience of their own home, wearing their pajamas while they're working, maybe. watching one of these, you know, pro Netflix or one of those, you know, got TV on, multitasking there, maybe. But, you know, how about folks, you know, from private industries, people who lost their jobs, they may never get them back again, and businesses that may never reopen again. You know, people living. Go on.
Well, and that's the thing. It's all on the, it's all the community-based businesses. In other words, home-owned. You know, it was all the mom-and-pop operations, the bars, the restaurants, all these little things like that, that drive your local economy. You know, this is what keeps your economy thriving. They close them down, but Walmart, Kmart, Target, you know, all of these, Home Depot, Menards, Fleet Farm, all of them could stay open.
The big question is, if people are going into those stores, and if whether, you know, if you comply and wear a mask and whatever, what's the difference between going mom and pop store?
Thing was set up to take out this lower level economy, the where you're self-sufficient more or less. This is what this is all about. It was, we were determined to be non-essential. They were giving us a message there. We are expendable, disposable, and that's the way they're treating us. Now, supposedly the 1st of June here, the bars can reopen if they have an outdoor dining room, a patio, and many of them do, because they put them in when you couldn't smoke in there anymore. And so to keep their business, they put outdoor patios on, which just thrive. Because what happened was, when they came along with that handy-dandy law, we had several bars and restaurants closed down. And they had told them that if they stopped smoking in there, why, people would just flood in there, and they'd just be overwhelmed, because now they wouldn't be subject to secondhand smoke. Really? Well, they didn't. They went across the river and across the state line and here and there and everywhere else and out to everybody's house and did their partying and barbecuing out there and smoked. So they all had to put in these patios to bring their business back. So they all got those. But, you know, here's my thing. Here, I think it's on the 28th. The casinos here open back up. But they're really going to be tightly regulated. Only 750 people can be in the casino at one time, as they're used to 1,500. Oh, telling you, they tightened the screws on them. Your local bar can't open. And they got pull tabs. Why can't they? But this was all directed to undermine our local economies. This is not only a bioweapons attack. This is an attack on segments of the population, the elderly, the chronically ill, that they are taking out with this claimed virus, and they are taking out our local economies. They are breaking the backs of everyday America. We have 38.5 million people out of work. We can't survive this way. And now, as I understand it, Mr. Trump came out and said the states are to stop the unemployment because people need to get up off their butts and go back to work. We have people here protesting because they can't go to work. So I think Mr. Doughboy there needs to get up off his own butt and do some work and find out what he's talking about before he opens his mouth. But I don't think he has a history of doing that. But anyway, so here we are in this mess, and we've got protests happening all over the country. We're watching the elderly dropping like flies. We're taking sick people and putting them in nursing homes in this closed environment. And everybody dies.
Well, you saw, Marty, yeah. I sent you that. You saw those articles with the Pennsylvania Health Secretary, Rachel Levine, and that was quite a scandal. And listen, they asked her to step down and resign. She would not. I don't know if she can, I'm not sure about if she's appointed. I don't know if she can be impeached if it's not, if it's an appointment. I know the governor.
Appointed.
So she wouldn't step down. The Pennsylvania governor, I know that there's legislation drafted. They didn't vote on anything for his impeachment. But this Rachel Levine, the health secretary, well, she moved her mother out of those facilities, whatever one she was in, put her in a hotel. And meantime, they started moving in this people into the people from the hospital who were sick, maybe some of them just recuperated, I don't know, but some of them may have been sick. They're moving them in, requiring them to be moved into these facilities for seniors, nursing homes. Different facilities. I don't want to call them nursing homes, whatever the facilities were, and knowing that they're the most vulnerable people that there are. What in the world is going on here? And one of the things that people are, here they're saying there was a failure to protect the most vulnerable. And instead of quarantining the sick people, what they did was impose a draconian directive to quarantine everyone. So instead of quarantining the sick people, they were quarantining everyone, and then the sick people, with the seniors, they were just elderly. They were sending them into these facilities anyway and allowing them to get sick, and it's tragic. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but I could tell you, personally, my feeling is if there's something going around, I don't care if it's this COVID or a flu or whatever, if you're a person who's vulnerable or elderly, then you should be able to make your own decision to stay home. You don't have to be running.
Yeah.
But they forced everyone to be in their own home, to stay home except for food and what they call essentials. And they there's such a destroyed economy. I don't know how some people may never recuperate. They just won't.
Most people won't. The thing is, Elaine, the whole thrust of this was this vaccine, and this is Gates and Fauci, and wonderful to see Italy and France now standing up and demanded that Gates be arrested and charged with crimes against humanity. And there is two petitions circulating here in the States. One already has 1.5 million signatures on it for exactly the same thing. But his plan is to vaccinate everyone, but it isn't the vaccine that you should be concerned about necessarily, although I can promise you I will never take a vaccine. There is nothing in a vaccine that could conceivably prevent you from getting a disease, nothing, but it will infect you with all kinds of things you didn't know was there. But it's that digital tattoo that they will insert. There is a huge computer system, massive, 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 called the Beast. It was called that for a reason, because it directly references the Bible. And of course, one of the ways all this works is it's not that we are in the end times and all the signs are there. They are creating things to mimic what is in there, knowing that many people think this is actually the Word of God. And so they see this and, we have no choice because the Bible says, no, shut up, fool. They have created the situation to mimic this and to sucker you in. what will happen is if you don't get that digital tattoo, you won't be able to board a plane, use public transportation, enter any federal building, travel, enter a library, get a driver's license, buy food, or work, or get medical care. Now, you need to stand up here, people. And that's if the vaccine that they're coming out with, that they're trying to push forward really, really, really fast, doesn't kill you first. Like the flu vaccine, which they claim the virus that causes this particular kind of pneumonia that people supposedly have was in the flu vaccine. The Department of Defense came out with that. They did their own research with their science department and found that this virus was loaded into the last flu vaccine. This was set on us. And, of course, the one thing they won't collect in this issue is how many of the people who came down so terribly sick got the flu vaccine. Going into those nursing homes, everybody in there is forced to take the flu vaccine. Gee, I wonder why this ripped through these places like it did. They were already set up for it. This is all about getting that tattoo, which at that time they will go to digital currency. Now they're floating all kinds of stuff about cash and how it carries germs and you could get infected. Oh, shut up, you fool. There has been coinage or paper script since 2,000 years ago at least, and I haven't seen it ravage a population yet. So you're being skinned yet again. And another thing that people don't understand, just like all this hand sanitizer stuff, stop it, you idiot. Your body is, in order to keep your immune system ramped up, and I got this from a microbiologist, Dr. Moskowitz, has to come in contact with gazillions of germs and stuff all day long. It keeps your immune system ramped up so that when something serious comes along, your immune system kicks it right back out the door. But they've got you using all of these hand sanitizers. Stop it. Please stop it. These masks. You put on a paper or cloth, particularly cloth, face mask. You're breathing in and out into that mask, and that starts collecting germs and bacteria. And you are exhaling air at about 80 to 90 degrees, which is ideal for the growth of bacteria, which colonizes inside your handy-dandy face mask. And then you take a nice breath, and you breathe that garbage down into your lungs. Now, can you say lung infection? This is absolutely so stupid, I can't believe it. It takes so little research on actual experts in these things to find out that what you're being told by mainstream media and the government is crap. It's crap. And it's used to, we call it fear porn. It's used to terrorize you. And I'm amazed after all the times that we have caught our government lying to us. They lie about everything. I think they lie because they just lie. And
yeah, Marty, this is one of the things with this with the rally. I know these recent rallies, people are like looking at it like, hey, you're trying to pull the wool over us. We bought it in the beginning. We went along in the beginning, but they smell a rat. This doesn't sound right to them.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, I have a question though for. I had a question for Kaz because because one of the things is with some of these businesses, restaurants that have stayed open where you can order food out, curbside pickup or deliveries, but all these places will only accept a credit card. You can't go to the curbside and hand them $10 or whatever it is you're buying your food, whatever you're picking up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be to Kaz, the bakery, if people are ordering out deliveries, is it only credit card or can accept cash?
That's a great question. We can accept cash. We still have the cash drawer and that's fine. But the vast majority of people are paying with a credit card. And what we're really seeing a difference is is people will call in the order and then they'll just go ahead and pay for it right away. So they can either run in and grab it or they can call us and then we'll run it out the door and do the curbside. So we're seeing the vast
majority. Some people have debt. Mm-hmm. Some people
we'll
can
take,
pay it through like a debit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
but we'll take cash, but but it's very few people are even paying with cash.
Well,
so the credit card
you,
companies
I went in,
take a percentage from the businesses.
Yes.
So they're making out really good.
And when I went to go in the store, I saw a sign on the door and it said something about cash, and I just went on in the store, picked up a few things I needed, get up to the cash register, and I'm paying with cash. I always use cash. And the lady said, oh, didn't you see the sign on the door? We don't take cash anymore. And I looked at her and said, really? Then I don't shop here anymore. And she goes, well, don't you have a card? I said, it's none of your business what I've got. And she says, well, if you have a card, I said, oh, no, if you can't take my greenbacks, you don't need my cards. And I left. And she says, what about all this stuff on the counter? I said, well, I think you better put it away. And but I just, no, you don't take cash. I don't do business with you. And stop using those cards. Do you know that debit card? If somebody, you know, skims your card number and starts charging on your debit card, cleans out your checking account, gets into your credit and all that, do you know the bank doesn't have to cover that? That's
right.
On you.
Right. Right. And then if you use a credit card, like who wants to run up the big debt in credit card,
yep.
You know?
Right. And I had a time with one of my granddaughters over this who made good money but was always getting NSF charges because of that debit card. And I said, you know, what you need to do is put cash in your, you know, set up a budget, how much you've got per day that you can spend for whatever, a drink or a burger, whatever it is. And I said, when actual cash is leaving your hand and your wallet is getting empty, it will dawn on you, you are spending too much money. But I said, when you hand over that card, you have no relation between what it's doing to your bank account and what you just did. And but this is, they want everybody using these cards. I don't use a debit card. I refuse to use one. I still write checks. And somebody says, well, look how long it takes to write out a check. I said, my God, there's 30 seconds. What will you do waiting in line? And it just, you know, I just get so frustrated with people. I get so frustrated at how easily they buy into stuff. And just like a simple research. And people say, oh, Google it. I don't go to Google for anything. If you want to get a lot of disinformation, that's the place to go. I don't use Google.
Well,
and
track what you purchase on those cards.
Yes. Yes.
And then also,
and
like these loyalty, like when you go to the grocery store and you have to put your loyalty. So we all, you know, I want the discount, but I'm going to mess their metrics up. There's one phone number that a whole bunch of us all use, the same phone number, and it's all over the country. So they probably are just like, oh, what's going on here? But when you get your discount to throw them off.
No, see, I don't do those either. I don't use those.
That's how they're
cards.
Tracking.
And, well, and that's
there's
what I told my granddaughter.
We have one grocery store in town that doesn't make you have these loyalty cards. You can just go in and shop.
Yep.
But almost every grocery store, you're going to pay like $5 extra for stuff unless
you know. Yeah, do you know that every grocery store you go into, if it's a big box grocery store, one of those big ones, and they've been doing this for 15 years, you're on videotape. And how you pay is recorded. And then it lists everything that you bought. And they were selling this information to the IRS, who would look at what you purchased in food. And if you were purchasing more than what your budget, you know, your money would allow on a regular basis, or if you were purchasing high dollar items that, you know, a person in your income bracket ordinarily wouldn't be able to afford, the IRS would come after you. And but they do that now, and it tells, and like just like me, because I pay cash. I pay cash for that, and I get flagged in that system. But it does, it records everything you purchase and how you paid for it. And using cash will get you flagged. You know, we are in such a quandary here. On the one side, they're killing off the elderly, stealing their estates. That's up to around $10 billion a year. Just being siphoned off elderly people. Then we send them to hospice and we kill them. And so they're all making money. As was pointed out to me, you take one person, one elderly person, just on Social Security in your community, by the time medical services are you know, obtained, and all the people they'll spread you through, pharmaceuticals, all of this that goes on, one person can be worth $1 million a year in your local economy. By the time everybody taps it and every program associated with you, and that's another thing people don't understand, it isn't that elderly person that's costing you money. It is all the people that latched onto that person like parasites through all these various programs and funding schemes. You know, if you target old lady so-and-so over there, it can be worth a lot of money to you. Do this and do that. And just, you know, get in on our program. But this is in the medical industry, bilking Medicare out of an estimated $60 billion a year in fraudulent charges, padded billing. Services.
So, Marty,
would
maybe that's a contributing factor? I don't know. You say that Pennsylvania passed a new law prohibiting and denying the right of guardians to arbitrarily call for a do not resuscitate against the victim's wishes. Maybe they want these people to stay alive and keep billing them, bills.
What it is, I think it's a matter of, what do I want to say? Too much money was getting away from government agencies. Too much money was going into private people's pockets, so to speak. And you'll see the government do it, but they don't want the private individual to do the private predator. They don't want them doing it. They were taking too big a piece of the pie. And the other thing is, we've done so many shows now on hospice, just being nothing but the Grim Reaper. It's nothing but a killing machine. And this is what hospice does. They arbitrarily claim you have a terminal disease. We've found many people that never had any such disease. They actually start treating you for the disease as if you actually had it. Then your doctor will put you into hospice. And they immediately assess you and say, oh, you got this terminal disease, and call futility of care. And once that call goes out, your right to any medical treatment ends right there. Then they say, now we're going to go into palliative care, which is basically pain control, so they don't suffer before they die. What they're doing, food, according to Dr. Jane Orient, I kept asking, how do they get away with starving and dehydrating people? You know, this is a human right. This is a basic necessity. Well, they have redefined food and water as medical treatment. So when you call for futility of care, they stop all medical treatment. And the first thing to do is pull food and hydration. And then they begin drugging you with Haldol, morphine and Seroquel, morphine and Zyprexa. And they start the process of actually killing you. After 3 or 4 days, no water, especially, your organs start shutting down, which is very painful. And, of course, people will moan and cry out, oh, we need to, they're in pain. You don't want them to suffer, do you? Do you? We're going to give them this shot, and it'll help ease things off for them so they can rest. And they basically put them in a stupor, if not an outright coma. And then they keep upping the dosage over the next couple of days. And it only takes 3 or 4 days, and mom, dad, or whoever just dies. And you can tell what they've done, especially when they up the morphine. You watch your parent or whomever it is, and they will start like taking real long, slow, deep breaths, and then they'll start panting. And then they'll back to these long breaths again, and that's the morphine shutting their lungs down. And they're basically suffocating them to death. And plus, you've already set the stage and weakened them with no water, no food. And but they take them out that way. But see, that's, they can make, I think it's up to $30,000 a month on each individual they do this to. So you take one bed in a hospice. If they can turn that over two, maybe three times in a month, that's some good money. And I mean, after all, they've lived a long life. You know, what are they hanging out for? They're just using up valuable resources that somebody else younger needs. And I got news for all of you young folks out there. Everything you're walking on and walking through and availing yourself of, that you think it was my generations and the ones that came before it to put all that crap there. Don't tell me. Mm-hmm. I'm using up anything that belongs to you. That was my labor. Mm-hmm. That was my investment and millions of others. So
that's right.
Just stand in line and wait your damn turn. And
that's right.
And when you produce anything, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm off on a rant. I'm
say,
sorry. I'll be quiet.
And before you know it, you're old yourself. You know, mm-hmm. in the snap of a finger.
And you don't realize
right.
how fast that time goes till it's gone, and you realize you're on turbo time. I swear the days get shorter, the minutes go faster. It's like boom, and I think the closer you get to end of life, the more it seems time speeds up, and I think it's because you become aware that your days are, you know, limited in one way. And unless you're somebody like me, and I intend to outlive all these jackasses just so I can talk to them, and you know.
Yeah.
But
I heard it once say, so like life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Truth.
Yeah. Yeah. But girls, I want to get your opinion. All these bills coming out in all the states, and honestly, like I say, this mess going on here in Minnesota. We're home to Joanne Balgalis and her mother, Kathy, who fled the country to Greece to get away from a guardian here.
That was such a crazy story. I was so glad she was on the show the other day.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the idea that this has made headlines in many places, and yet this state still insists on coming out. And I'll tell you, I don't know what you guys think, but it's just like that on federally here last year or the year before, that S-178 came, the Elder Justice and Protection Act. What? There was nothing in there that would protect it from internet scammers and fraud and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute. You were supposed to be writing about these guardians.
Yeah.
And what they're doing to the elderly people. Nobody gives a shit about internet scams. What the hell are you talking about? And but they come out, and then down, because I raised, did I raise hell with the DOJ over that? They came out with a miscellaneous that they added at the end of the bill that said Congress was charging the DOJ with developing model legislation on guardianship. And I reminded the DOJ, they are not the lawmaking body. There is no delegation of authority. Congress cannot delegate its mandate, which is to create legislation, to any other entity. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. And you should know that. Well, we're trying to do it. No, you're not. No, don't tell me that. And, you know,
and
people,
go tell that to the judges also, because the judges write up their own legislation too. Nobody respects the Constitution. Nobody.
No.
There's special laws just in Montgomery County, because I've sat in courtrooms and they're like, well, you know, this law, this is, you know, this Judge Ott made this law or whatever in Montgomery County. I could find the court records, and when they were contesting wills, they have special laws just for Montgomery County. I'm like, how horse crap is that? You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
And the local rules are not supposed to, they're supposed to be, you're not supposed to supersede any state or federal laws,
but
they don't care. They don't care.
And see, and every time they do something like that, we should be jumping. One of the main reasons, and you know that shutting down the internet, not maybe not all the way. I mean, you'll be able to play games and post what you had for breakfast on Facebook, you know, and things like that. But you won't be able to do the research you're doing now. When they first came out with the internet, one of the things they did under transparency was they set up, you know, you could access suddenly all these government documents and what these agencies were doing and their, you know, what was going on internally. And they put it up there like a big joke because they honestly believed people were so dumbed down and so stupid and so uncaring that nobody would bother to look at what was actually right there in front of their face. It turned out to be the most highly trafficked sector of the net. And now you have like all of Cornell Law online. You have all of this where you can go in and look the U.S. codes online, everything. And they never thought people would access any of this. But if the internet hasn't done anything else, it's made some dandy researchers out of many thousands of people who are now accessing.
Like the average person.
Like Mary Bush. Oh my gosh.
The average person, the average homemaker is now an unlicensed lawyer. The average homemaker has been.
And they don't get angry when you call them out on, you know, whether they'll be misquoting a law or claiming the law exists that doesn't.
Right.
They just can't remember the number. Well, and the statute says this or that. No, it doesn't. It says this, this, and this, and they get angry, and now you're practicing law without a license. Well, so are you, fool. You don't have any such license. You got a bar card. That is not a license. You belong to a union, and you are forced to pay them dues. And just like any good journeyman, you have to take classes every year to keep your bar card current, but you don't have a license. Where's that license at? The Bar Association cannot issue a license. Only the state can. The state hasn't issued you any such license, so apparently you must be in danger of practicing law without a license, too. And, but it just, I had an attorney out in D.C. the first year I was out there who kind of cornered me and said that to me. He said, you realize, Miss Oakley, you're dangerously close to practicing law without a license. And I reminded him about his bar card. I said, so you're practicing law without a license too, aren't you? I said, all you got is a card in your pocket that costs you money every year. And his face got really red and veins stood out on his forehead. And, of course, I'm 5'5", and he had to have been a good 6'1", 6'2", somewhere in there. And he looked at me, and I know I was supposed to get scared and go off in the corner and start crying and go, oh, please, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. But I just stood there. And he just, well, you know, you're not going to do anything to me. You know it, and I know it. And but it's just, you know, and this is a lot of what they are upset about is people now, in many cases, in courtrooms are far more educated about the law than the attorneys are. And I truly believe
it. Go ahead. It's like if you hire an attorney, and this is what I've learned, if you hire an attorney, you basically have to do so much of the research and wrap it up and put a bow on it and then hand it to them for them to file stuff. And I think so many people, like just getting into guardianship stuff, they think, okay, I'm going to hire an attorney, and they think the attorney is going to do all this research and investigation and do all this for them. They think wrong. You need to basically wrap it up, put the bow on, and hand it to them. Because they're not
doing all that. I think people need to know that.
No,
yeah,
they'll file something
on your behalf.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the truth. This is what I have been through as well. For years and years, even when people say, didn't you have a lawyer? Well, even when you have a lawyer, you have to do half the research. You have to give them all the records, the evidence, all kinds of stuff, and then they just, you know, wrap it up for you
File the paper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people are complaining about that very thing all over the place, and a lot of people that are now pro se, and they say it's up to 78% of all cases of any kind filed across the United States are filed pro se. People
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Are fed up these attorneys, and well, they're trying to figure out what to do about that. And see, they're in Wisconsin. 2010, your Supreme Court came out with its new rules, and it said, because they can't stop you from being pro se, they would still hear pro se cases, but no one can help you with your case. No one. If that person
go to
does
the law library or something,
right? Well, you have to do everything yourself. Somebody can't help you research or, you know, look things up or write things. Nobody can help you. And if someone does help you and they find out about it, that person can be charged with a felony. Now, that's the Supreme Court rules of the state, which violate so many tenets of the Constitution federally that you can't even really name them all. But the 14th Amendment, as much complaint as there is about it, it says that the law will be applied equally. And nowhere in the Constitution does it say if you're wearing a black robe hiding what a disaster you are as a human being, you're exempt from being prosecuted for breaking the law, abusing people in court, denying them their rights. Just because you put a thing up there that says you're a judge, you're not immune. You are not immune. And
no,
they make their own laws saying, you know, well, we need immunity because otherwise judges might be afraid to hand down some rulings. Well, the only time I can think they'd be afraid to is if they knowingly were breaking the law.
That's
and,
right.
And violating the Constitution.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So I think we should form a citizens' coalition and vote ourselves immunity from any of the renderings of these courts.
That's right.
I think
that's right. Well,
fair,
you know, the
fair.
Truth is that not if you read it carefully enough, all this stuff about immunity, they're real. These judges, even certain government employees, they're really not. They'll say we have absolute immunity. Well, the truth is that they have immunity if they acted within the law.
The
but
law. Yes.
Yes, but if they don't do what they're supposed, they're really not supposed to be immune if they're acting outside of it. And
I think you can still get them on racketeering. If you can get them on racketeering, that's how you get them.
Well,
you got to be able to like
a lot
these
of
judges.
Okay, now I'm going to hit you in the head.
Okay, you go first, Marty.
A lot of people, when they go in and they're forced to be in front of one of these, and like I keep telling you, probate is not a court of law. They do not deal with law. It is a tribunal. It is a tribunal. It is an equity court. And what it means is they don't follow the law. The Constitution's neither state or federal applied to what goes on in there. They're an independent entity. That person up there is not a judge. A judge is a legal term meaning you work with the law. These are hearing examiners, administrative assistants or executives, and magistrates, which in the states that have them, that are appointed by the governor. But again, they are dealing with in tribunal settings. They're not in courts of law. So they don't have to follow the rules of evidence, the code of civil procedure. They don't have to do it. They are not courts of record, meaning they don't have to write down or record or in any other way list what happened in that room. But what many people are doing is now handing them what's called a certificate of individual liability. And what it says is if you misinterpret the law, if you intentionally violate my rights, if you intentionally cause harm physically, psychologically, whatever, to me or any of my family or anything else, I'm holding you civilly liable for damages and criminal if anything else happens, if there's any loss of life or anything like that. And so, and these are legal documents, and it's quite a complex thing. But anyway, people are handing these, are notarized, and everybody, an actual legal notary is you cross out the word signature and you put autograph down. Signature means contract. Signature comes from contracting. An autograph is you speaking as the person, no contract implied. And so you put autograph underneath there, you sign your name, and then you put your thumbprint next to your name. That is a legal notary. You don't need a third party or second party to do anything, to put their stamp on it or anything else. That is a legal notary. And, you know, there's so much, but people are using this, and they're using it in various capacities. Like out in Seattle, they over the smart meters, the city was insisting everybody was going to get one whether they wanted it or not, and they didn't want it. So after arguing with the city commissioners many times, they all marched in and laid down a certificate of individual liability against six of them, got up and walked out of the room and resigned. it carries weight. But what it says is basically what these get down to is you're constrained to the law, not statute, not code, not regulation, the law. And you are to respect due process and my rights under the Constitution of the United States. And it goes on and explains other things, but people are starting to use those because we have these so-called judges saying, you have no rights here. The Constitution, you mention it one more time, I'll have you put in jail. Well, that hearing examiner in that probate tribunal has no authority because they are not a judge and it's not a court of law. They have no authority to put you in jail for anything. So when they make that determination, they send that as a request over to a state-level judge who is the person who actually signs that warrant. It sends it back over, and they arrest you under that warrant. But that person sitting up there in a probate tribunal doesn't have the authority to do that to you. And they're not acting in a legal capacity. They are acting as a functioning agency agent. So, you know, and learning, I think that's the other thing that's come out of all this guardianship stuff too. As people started learning how the law was being used against them, or was being avoided when it should have been the first thing applied to them, or,
that's right,
you know, how they got away with what they're doing. Instinctively, you know, I had my granddaughters, as you know, and when they were in high school, a lot of the kids hung out here, which was fine with me, because I knew where they were, what they were doing, what they were talking about, which could be an eye-opener in itself. But anyway, they would all gradually migrate in here where I was. And they'd start asking questions. You know, they told us this or that in civics class today, but something about that doesn't sound right. And what do you think? And we spent a lot of time looking at the Constitution, looking up laws, all kinds of things. But see, they knew instinctively this stuff didn't make sense. And that has, I think, finally gotten into the older generations, that we know things aren't right. And nobody's going to save us from this but us. And this has this researching and this. I've talked to people that have become absolute mind-blowing experts, can recite laws, everything else, because they got caught in one of these situations. But I don't know, and I want to get both of your thoughts on this. This theft of estates from the elderly. Now, they cannot deny that they know about it. They can't. We've been blowing this out here for years, and there's too much going on. Being at the summit made a huge difference in who would talk to us, because before they could blow us off, and now they can't. But for the reticence, both state and federal, in doing anything while these estates are robbed and these people are treated horribly and everything, there's got to be something else there. And the only thing I can come up with is they want rid of these people anyway, and they're willing to allow that theft of estate and the abuse and everything else to get these people off the rolls and reduce their expense, because, you know, we've talked about how they owe Social Security now $4 trillion that they've stolen from it to fund all kinds of crap like wars and everything else. And they have no way to pay it back and never intended to. But so many of us are retiring now. They've got to get rid of us. The only way to balance the books is to reduce the number of claimants. And how are you going to do that? You know,
well,
you,
they started with, well, one of the, they threw a few of us, like me, they stole my estate when I was well and alive, you know, before I hit the wheelchair, they stole everything. And I'm not the only one, of course. And, yeah, it's like they're stealing from Peter to pay Paul, almost that type of thing. Stealing from a bunch of other, a bunch of people to fund something else.
Well,
can I also make a, can I also say one quickie thing? You know, in Montgomery County, one of the things is that they're not going to be putting flags out or have a ceremony for, this is Memorial Day weekend, you know, and, you know, that's, you know, when you think about all the people, soldiers and service, serving the country, you know, they're not even going to honor them with a flag and or a ceremony. So unless something changes that I didn't hear about, I just think that's, you know, really terrible thing. You know,
well, I know how they.
Go ahead.
I mean, how they treat how, I mean, I'll just say how they treated Harvey Whitten, a Korean War veteran. Like, if that's how you treat our veterans, of course they don't care.
I mean,
he was a veteran.
And that's another group of people they desperately want rid of. And so we saw this virus supposedly ripped through that one home out there, VA home out there in Massachusetts, 80 dead. In the matter of a week, 80 of them dead. Now, I'm sorry, I might be too jaded, too cynical, too suspicious. I don't think any virus took them out. I think they just got rid of them. That's what I think. There's no evidence that did you see where they sent that shipment to England of 800,000 swabs to test for COVID? And before they used them, somebody decided they ought to test the swabs, and they were contaminated with COVID-19?
I saw somebody who made a joke. They made like a joke of it. I forget what show it was. I saw something to that. I didn't understand.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And
wow.
So it's, and see, England went along with this lockdown thing for about 2 or 3 weeks and then said, wait, this isn't working, and stopped it. And they were under a lot of pressure from the United States to lock back down, and they said no. And this thing just petered out all on its own over there. They had a few hot spots where, you know, maybe 10 cases showed up at once, supposedly. But there again, they said that the tests are totally inadequate. They aren't accurate at all. So you don't know who has. But like I say, going back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, right up here in Minnesota, these chicken and meat processing plants closing down because supposedly everybody in them was contaminated with COVID-19. But yet the surrounding community wasn't. Now, how does that happen? That doesn't even make sense. So their alternative was they killed 79,000 chickens. But, hey, not to fear. We're going to start sending all our chicken now to China to be processed. And USDA is not going to inspect them. They're going to let the Chinese do it because they do a far better job.
They've been doing that already. I mean, being in the food service, can I tell you the organic scam? I only eat organic. I avoid that. So the word organic means it breaks down. It's a scientific term. So if it's organic, it will break down. The only no pesticides thing, it's a certified organic. There's a company out of Oregon that can certify a cereal or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't go in there and, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you see the organic tomato that you're going to pay an extra $2 a pound for, whatever. I actually have had an inspector This is years ago. I had they were ag inspectors. I used to work at this one bakery, and they had to have an ag inspector come in all the time. She told us, told us that. So a free-range chicken, she said, all you have to do to have a free-range, cage-free chicken is have a door open. But the chickens are so GMO bloated with their Dolly Parton chicken breasts, they can't even walk out the door. But they and you pay extra money for these free range chicken. The other thing, there's vegetables. This grows in a farms in north of Milwaukee, and they ship up all the sewage out of Chicago. So they don't actually use pesticides. They throw the human sewage all over, and it works just as good. And so there now you have in human sewage you have a lot of pharmaceutical, a lot of estrogen.
Right.
And that's, you know, they have so many, you know, so many males or have too much estrogen in their system. Well, a lot of women are taking the birth control pills and it's, you know, coming out in the bathrooms and in the sewage and just, and that's getting in the food system, all that. That's how the estrogen is getting in there. And then the other, I've read some articles where, everything is over in China. And they ship it back and they label it organic, but there's no oversight. And now you're paying extra money for organic produce. You're totally getting scammed. I always just try and bite my tongue when people, I only eat organic. I'm just like, oh, I cringe. And I just go, oh, okay.
Well,
because I don't think people would believe me. But don't
Well,
stop
anything
it.
That says USDA certified organic can be up to 40% genetically modified. So that's another one of those scams.
What people
that say USDA,
you just need
GMO.
To know your farm. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And
know
your
farm. That's it.
Yep.
The only way you can
doing stuff out there in Washington State where they passed that bill that now they can start composting human bodies.
Oh
now
my
think
gosh!
Think about that on your feet. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Soil and green. Soylent Green.
Well, you've got Nestle Company that all of their condiments that they put out, plus Pepsi products, cocoa, Nestle Quick, and all of that, has got human diploid cells in it, used from aborted fetuses. And they put those in there as flavor enhancers, so it tastes better to you when it hits your tongue. But, yeah, I've got a whole big... thing on that on DVJ.
And there's a woman called the Food Babe that writes all this stuff too.
Yep.
She's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've seen her work. And like when you're at the grocery store, you look at chicken. And I ran my girls through this with them shopping. It says, no added antibiotics. And I said, what do you think that means? Well, there's no antibiotics in it. I said, no, that's not what that means. It says no added antibiotics, meaning they didn't use any more antibiotics than they were allowed to by law. That's deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is antibiotic free on this one. And we had Tyson Chicken come out up here and talk about how they were using antibiotics anymore. They were putting oregano oil and I believe it was rosemary in the drinking water. And oregano oil is the strongest antiviral known. And they were putting it in, they didn't have to use antibiotics. And that commercial lasted about a week, and they pulled that thing, got slapped down really good. And but you have to read labels and understand what you're actually reading. Because I'm telling you, this Soylent Green thing ain't that too far off. Every vaccination given to a child from birth to 5 years old contains human diploid cells. They use the ground up lungs from aborted female fetuses to grow that cell line. And so, as I've said before, if it says W332, they went through 332 fetuses before they got the cell line to grow. So when they grow that cell line, this includes any genetic disorders that fetus may have had, any encoded diseases that it may be carrying that you didn't know about. And that is being injected into your child. Plus the DNA of non-related species, you know, whatever ran through the lab that day, we'll use that. That can be swine and chicken and monkeys and frogs and God knows what else. And that's being injected into you, and that creates what's called, that DNA finds your DNA and attaches itself and creates what's called a mutational hotspot. And they don't know how that's going to express itself. So we're in the middle of a huge scientific experiment to see, you know, and like I've always said, if there's only 1.5 to 4% difference between us and the great apes, and for those of you who think that, you know, we were created special and blah, 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 and we're no relation, to heck if we're not. at what point, and they're testing, they're collecting everybody's DNA, and what if your DNA doesn't come up to the 99 or 100% mark? What if it drops down to where the great apes are, your children's does? That you're only like 95-96% human. Are you going to be subclassified? Are you going to be subhuman?
Well, they made a movie. Do you remember there was that movie? Yeah. I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
I forget the name of it now. Where they you got a chip or something in you. It depended. You got your DNA tested, and they said what you were allowed to be I forget the name of that movie now.
But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. At this point, let's say your child only tests out at 95% human. Now they're going to be categorized as a subspecies, as an animal. You know how we treat animals.
What animal. Boy, there's a lot of people who'd like to come back as, like, let's say a cat, you know, a well-loved cat or something like, or, you know, my cat has a pretty good life, and my children who have cats, they got a real good life.
Yeah.
I mean,
and a lot
I have
of
to, you wonder,
though, you know,
you wonder who the pet is. Maybe I'm their pet instead of.
there you go. I don't know.
You know
but,
what I'm saying?
You know,
I'm working for them.
But look at this virus and who it's targeting, the elderly. Like I say, this is not an accident. This is not something that's just coincidental to this virus. This was intentionally set to take out the chronically ill, the elderly, because your immune system, the older you get, the weaker it gets. And or a lot of them do. But this way you couldn't supposedly point at the government and say, you did this. You did this. Oh, no, it was this virus. The virus did it. We tried everything to stop it. You notice we didn't get it, but we're special. And, you know, it just, you know, they don't get the virus. They don't get guardianized.
I'm curious.
They don't.
Well, where did this come from? Out of the clear blue, how many thousands of years have people been living? And we always have flus. And all of a sudden, out of clear blue, this massive wave of this one virus comes and attacks from nowhere. It's really strange.
Well, it was,
and that movie was Gattaca. Gattaca was the name of that movie.
Gattaca, yes.
That crazy, you know, where the people's future kind of determined.
Yep.
I don't know.
I just
remembered it.
Well, I've never seen that movie.
It's
do you think someday we all find out what really happened? Like, was this a biological weapon? Like, what? Like, do we all find out someday? Like, a few years down the road, or
maybe 20, 30 years
we
from
never,
now?
Then
I think
we'll
we're
find
getting
out.
To the point where somebody, once the key players in 911 have passed away or gotten sold, it won't be worth it. You know, I don't know anybody that believes the good. They talk about conspiracy theorists. Oh, you're a conspiracy. No, I'm a conspiracy analyst. And
there you go.
You know, I have a graphic up on my site that says conspiracy theorist, someone who questions the statements of known liars. We have a government that lies to us consistently about everything. And you cannot find one person, not one, that believes the government theory about what happened on 911. Without exception, everyone will say that was an inside job. Our own government did that too.
Yeah.
That was Bush Cheney. Nobody believes their story. Nobody. Nobody anymore believes the story about the assassination of JFK, who orchestrated Bush Sr., Alan Dulles, several others, and LBJ. because he called for shutting down the CIA and ending central banking, putting us back on the gold standard. Boom, you're dead. And that was the other advantage they had before the internet. These guys could get on national news. Mm-hmm. There were only three stations for years, and they could lie out their behinds, and you had no way of knowing. You assumed they were telling the truth. But these days, you get on camera and lie, and within 5 minutes, it's all over the net. You were lying your butt off.
Yeah.
They can't hide
and
it.
People can communicate. We have mass communication, not just from state to state, across the world now with this internet.
Yep.
And heck, you don't even need a computer now. Just these people have their smartphones, and you walk around with your phone,
mm-hmm.
and you connect to everyone and everything. And
My granddaughter laughed at me on my cell phone. I have duct tape over both cameras. And when she came rolling in here with her, this was before I ever got it, I didn't want a cell phone. She came rolling in one day, and she said, look at my new camera, or my new phone. She said, it has two cameras in it. I said, well, ain't you just lucky? And she said, yeah. And I said, honey, when you're pointing that camera at something and taking a picture or getting a little video, what do you think that camera in the back is doing? Well, nothing. I said, wrong. It's watching you. And it's geolocating you. And it's identifying as much as possible who might be around you. It's recording your conversation.
Oh,
and she looked at me, and
well,
I said,
don't forget, they were tracking. They were tracking people with the COVID. They were seeing where people were going through their by their telephones, where they were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You
There's
know,
a
over the last couple months, they were able to track and see who was actually self-isolating and all that stuff, because they tracked you through your telephone.
Well, seeing a lot of people like me, I just started leaving it at home on the desk. It irritates the hell out of me anyway. And I don't want to be going down the road and this thing start dinging it. No. So I just always leave it home on the desk. I drove for years and years with no cell phone. I can do it now. And a lot of people started doing the same thing, just leaving their cell phone at home or taking their battery out of it when they were going somewhere and then putting it back in when they wanted to use the phone. So they came out and said, now, if you've got a cell phone and you don't have it with you, that's a misdemeanor, and you can be charged for not carrying. No. When you start paying the bill on that phone.
Yeah. We're going to have to implant a phone into you and a chip.
No.
Now, Marty, before we run out of time, were we going to talk about that CNN article?
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Gaz. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So because I'm not sheeple, I don't just read one news organization. So I like to look at the Fox and the CNN. Now, let's all remember Judge Ott was a Republican. So I'm not like, Miss Republican or Miss Democrat, which I think a true advocate is not going to take a side. So anyway, I'm reading on a CNN. It was the top story this morning. And I just happened, because I'm following stuff because there's Trump stuff going on. Now, he's down in the polls, and I think down like by 9 points or 9%. So it's not looking good for him right now, if the election were to be held today. And I read this article, and it's CNN, and they said that they're so upset that he's going to go to Michigan. And he's going after this attorney general, this corrupt attorney general there in Michigan. So anyway, CNN announced that they found out what Trump's new reelection campaign is going to be. And this is in the article. And it said he is going to be the president of the forgotten people. And I have to question myself and wonder, did he read Gretchen's article? Why is now this going to be his campaign slogan, the president of the forgotten people? This is in CNN. If I haven't looked on the app yet, but it was the top story this morning when I got up.
Wow.
Why?
Well,
that's going to be his new campaign promise. And he's over there in Michigan, and they're like the Wicked Witch got water on them. They're freaking out.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, that article that Gretchen wrote called The Fortress, and it came out in mm-hmm. five sections because it is quite lengthy, very detailed, all of it verified. And I happen to know because I was one of the people who did, I sent it to the White House. I said, you need to read this and you need to pay attention to what said this is happening all over the country. Don't say you didn't know. Nobody told you. And I know many other people did the same thing. And so with our little communications here recently and things that are going on, because I think it's entirely possible he's going to maybe land on this.
I'm feeling hopeful. And, you know, I would hope that if Joe Biden, hey, get in the game, let's start exposing this, you know, because I really do think when the American people hear what our government has done to their own people through this guardianship, they're going to be disgusted. They're going to be disgusted. And I just like freaked out when I read that. That's going to be his new campaign tag. The president for the forgotten people. And he's over there in Michigan. And he was just in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we've had some talk-ins with some people that won the commercials. And stuff. So I am freaking out like, oh, my gosh, the yacht-holes might go down. When I read that, it's all I can do to contain myself. And the only thing that I can say is, everyone get your documents, send them off. You know, I have to resend mine, and I'm not blaming President Obama because it was on his, he was president when we were sending our documents. I'm not blaming him. I know there's so many things that a president has to be worried about, but now we have a new president in office and you don't know where all your stuff went. Send it again. Send it again right now, because he has now announced, or they released, CNN, that's going to be his new campaign reelection tagline. He is the president of the forgotten people. And what is he about to expose to win reelection? Get your stuff, email the White House. Whether you like him or not, it's all about exposure. Do it.
Well, and the thing is, unfortunately for us, as miserable as the elections have been over the last 20 years, miserable in the sense of unqualified candidates, this last election being probably the epitome of the worst, I don't intend to vote this time around. It's the first time in my life. I'm not going to be forced to choose between evil and less evil or more evil. I'm not. This is not a choice. It's not a choice. You give me somebody worth voting for. But instead, we've got these two bumbling old men. Biden doesn't know a lot of times what planet he's on. And Trump is such a self-centered narcissist that, you know, he's the typical rich kid that, you know, gets mad if somebody tells on him. The guy is amoral. He has no sense of what's coming out of his mouth. I think the worst, and I know I've harped on this, but when he, during that campaign, made fun of that guy with cerebral palsy, I think was one of the most humiliating moments of this country when that man did this, to mock this man because he was crippled up and shaking with cerebral palsy. And why anybody voted for him after that, this to me was an absolute display of how discompassionate, how lack of empathy, lack of just social standards this man was, and yet he won the election. But I'm not doing this again. I'm not doing it. The other thing is mailing your stuff into the White House. Now, more than likely, unless some low-level staffer pushes it up the line, he'll never know about it. It's like when you go into any like senator representative's office, you always want to get the chief of staff. That's who's actually running the office. That's who's actually managing the business of that office. And that's who determines who sees what. And that the elected representative doesn't know any more than what that chief of staff tells them. So I would direct it to not Trump, but his chief of staff.
Ooh, that's
and
good.
Try to get their attention, because that's who can get it in front of him. And and I think it's important that you do that. I do think that's it. And then we can maybe start rousting up every week a list of all the people who have so far petitioned his office to pay attention to this and send their documents.
Yeah. You know what? I think I should get an example of what we did in Pennsylvania, and you can get it up on the website. Maybe we can talk about that next week. And we call it the Affidavit of Truth. And I want everybody to see you need to include documents. You can't just write this ranting letter. It's got to be professional. Right. It's and it's I got, can yeah. get you the copy of what we did. It was about 40 pages. We could talk okay. about that, but it's very powerful. My sister okay. did it, and she did an amazing job. Oh, excellent. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I want to remind everybody too next week NASCA has a up
Gretchen put up a page there. It has a survey on it, one for guardianship. It actually has two, and the other for if you or a loved one or family member, someone had got involved with this COVID thing, you can fill out the survey. Now, contact information on that is all being kept private. That won't be made public. And, you know, it'll be on file at NASCA. But you can reach both of those surveys, and if you would take the time to fill them out, it's important, at https, semicolon, forward slash, stopguardianabuse, just like it sounds, stopguardianabuse.org/. And that'll take you right to NASCA's page where both the surveys are listed. And I would encourage everyone to fill these out. We're trying to, you know, develop our own database here of what's going on and where and who was affected by it. So, you know, anything you can do there would be appreciated. This has been quite a conversation tonight. Go ahead.
Would people with deceased, their loved ones are deceased, would they still fill out the survey, or is it just for people who are alive? Yes. Okay.
No,
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I believe there is a question on there whether or not they're deceased, you know, or still living. And
okay.
Yeah. So I think all of that is accounted for, but they're trying to establish it. And so far, it's been a really good response across the country. But they're also tracking this COVID thing, which I think is a good idea. And I think the other thing, a question that might be added to that is, did they receive the flu vaccine? Because that is the one thing they have been told by the CDC not to record any information about the relevance of the flu vaccine in relation to this virus. And that's like with babies that die after vaccination, they'll die of SIDS, sudden infant death. They are prohibited from listing in the examiner's report any topic, you know, anything to do with vaccination. SIDS was virtually unheard of before we started vaccinating babies, and now it's very common.
And it's
always within 24 to 48 hours of vaccination, and they just die. Their little brains swell, and oh, God. Anyway, but we've got about a minute and a half left here. Elaine, I want to thank you for coming on. Always love it when you're on with
us. Thank you, Elaine.
And,
oh, thank you. I'm always happy to join you, and I'm glad you're healthy, both of you, and you know, Kaz, I'm so glad Kaz is staying afloat there with her business and, you know,
found
a little bit of an alternative, if you will. So I'm real happy about that, And just, gosh, we need some saving here in, I don't even want to call the state. I don't even know if Pennsylvania is really a state. I feel like they separated from the whole entire country at this point.
There's a commonwealth. There's a commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's awful here, and I don't know what's going to happen, but you have no rights here. It's like a country, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for having me and all that, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Kaz, I need a donut.
No, you need a cinnamon roll. We just invented the unicorn cinnamon roll. They're debuting tomorrow. We already sold out before they even hit the shelves. I know.
Oh, geez. Before I take off and move from here, I'm going to have to try and shoot over there and pig out for a day.
Yes, you are.
We only got 10 seconds. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. We were kind of all over the map, but it was fun. And we will be back next week. Me and Kaz and Elaine, you can join us too. And we'll see you then,
sure.
Everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.